Kevin and I have been looking forward to coming to Blythe and meeting all of you. We are Kevin and Michelle Wepler with Evangelical Missionary Church of Canada and World Partners, the missionary arm of EMCC. We have been home now from December 29th, and we're home on missionary assignment, getting prepared to go back to Romania April 15th. And I just want to share with you what a faithful God we serve. This has been an amazing time for us being home again. This is our second home mission assignment to raise our support for the field. But we started in Romania in 2006, and we'll be sharing some of our story with you this morning. But we have just seen God's faithfulness so much over the last 3 years in Romania, and also how he's been working through us here during our time back in Ontario. And when we came home, it looked really difficult for us in the economic times we're living in to try and raise our support. And, you know, we just said, Lord God, you know, your words say that it's not by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we've had to really just trust him. And we were saying to each other on the way down here this morning, you know, we still have no idea what it looks like for us in terms of our finances and everything, but we just know that we serve a faithful God. So we're going to share some of our testimony with you. Our presentation is called A Light in the Darkness of Southern Romania. You heard me sharing with the children this morning that Jesus is that light, and we're going to just share how we've seen that light revealed in so many ways over these past 3 years, and how God has taught us so much in Romania. So Kevin's just going to start sharing a little bit.
As Michelle said, it's a real pleasure to be here. For me, being a missionary, that was the last thing on my mind. I never thought I would be a missionary. I worked for a company for over 20 years in Elmira, West Tower Communications, putting up communications towers for Rogers, Bell, TELUS. We did one just not too far from here. And that was the last thing on my mind, to be a missionary. But 1997, the company I worked for, they're going to send us to Romania to put up towers. Slow here in 1997 in Canada, in Ontario. They're going to send us to the States. That didn't work out. So they're going to send us to Romania, cell phone towers. 250 cell phone towers over 3 years. So we'll be gone for 3 months at a time, come back for a few weeks, gone again for 3 months. I did not want to go to Romania. So I said, Lord, I will never go to Romania. Never. Never say never. So that was in 1997. 4 years later, sitting in church, I was just reading my bulletin, not really paying too much attention. One of our pastors got up and said, we're sending from a home church in Hanover. We're going to send our first short-term mission trip to Romania. So I'm sitting there reading. Anyway, he said, we have lots of women on the team, but we need men. So Michelle elbows me. There you go, hon. Could God use me? How could God ever use me? That was the last thing on my mind, that I would ever go to be a missionary, to even go on a short-term trip. I had no qualifications, and I had no talents, but you know, God took me to Romania that year on that team, and I was changed.
Mm-hmm. So much so, in fact, that I really got a different husband back. And I remember for those first few weeks when Kevin returned, I'd try and talk to him about Romania, and he could hardly express himself. He couldn't sleep at night. He kept thinking about the children, and what little he could share with me in that time, he was overwhelmed by what he had seen. And so in 2002, we decided to go back to Romania on another mission trip that our church was sending as follow-up. And so we went back together, and God really grabbed both of our hearts during that time. For me, my story is different than Kevin's. I'd grown up in a Christian home, and in a little tiny Baptist country church, a little clapboard church out in Bentinck, Ontario, and was baptized in that church. And when missionaries would come and share their stories, I was always totally enthralled with what they had to say. And I remember saying to my mother at like age 10, you know, Mom, I'm going to be a medical missionary one day. But do you know, God, that never happened. I went on to become a nurse, and for one reason or another, that door did not open for missions until after Kevin took that first trip to Romania. So God knew, and he was setting the stage for everything. So we went in 2002 together. Our hearts were touched, and we came back. We talked to our pastors and said, okay, we're very ordinary people. I had worked in a nursing home myself for 21 years. And we said, we have no idea what this looks like. And our senior pastor said to us, well, if you're really serious about this, then you should apply to Emmanuel Bible College in Kitchener. And if God is leading you there, he'll continue to work on your hearts and you'll know. But in the back of his mind, I think he was thinking, at your ages, if you actually go to Bible college, you're pretty serious. And so we did. We enrolled in Bible college, which was really tough because we were juggling full-time jobs, family, church commitments, and driving to Kitchener from Hanover a few times a week. It was rough. But God was working through all of that.
For me, I knew we had to go to Romania. I knew down the road we had to go. So for me, it was always, when do we retire? So, you know, or else maybe next year. Because we both had good full-time jobs. Life was good. Two-car garage. Life was good. And to give that up, two vehicles, like, and to go to a country like Romania, it was always like, later, Lord, later.
Heaven was waffling.
I sure was waffling. Or when do we retire? Maybe then we'll go. I didn't want to give up the things that we had, but in 2004, December 17, 2004, Michelle's coming back from Bible college. We had wrote her exams. I went on to Niagara Falls to work, and Michelle's blocked from our house, and there was a truck, went up over a knoll, there was a truck on the road, wasn't moving. She went sideways down in the ditch, hit a hydro pole, came in right behind the driver's seat. Was in the snow for about an hour, or down in the ditch for about an hour. And so finally someone saw the exhaust coming up, and taken by ambulance to Hanover, airlifted immediately to London, unconscious, intubated.
No vitals.
It didn't look good. The call from my pastor when I was in Niagara, you better get there. They called in family. It wasn't good. You know, and as I drove that day, I drove from Niagara Falls to London. I prayed, Lord, if you give her back to me, I will go to Romania. I will go. You know, that night, that afternoon, later that afternoon, the time I got to London, Michelle's coming out of the coma. And you know, that night they released her. Was that a miracle? Yeah, that was a miracle. In that, God showed me that his faithfulness, and I needed to go to Romania.
Well, it wasn't an easy road back. They did release me that night, but I shouldn't have been, because I had a lot of internal brain injury. And after about maybe 2 or 3 days, I started to lose the total use of my left side. And I'm left-handed, totally left-handed. And so I couldn't write, and everything was gone. My speech was slurred. It was just like I had a stroke. And so, but you know, from the moment of that accident, it was like God laid on my heart such a strong perseverance that if he was calling us to the country of Romania, we were going to have to be very strong people, and that we would have a tremendous amount to walk through, and this was just the beginning. And so immediately I started into therapy on my own 4 days a week, and within 2 weeks started back to Emmanuel Bible College, driving past that accident site, and just said, Lord Jesus, I give this to you. And in all of that, I saw his faithfulness, because I just steadily continued to progress, just believing he was strengthening my heart. My body wasn't really getting any stronger. By the time we went to the mission field in 2006, I had about a 65% use of my left side. But, you know, and I wasn't healed. I mean, I had come a tremendous way during that time, but my therapist said to me, you know, you go, because if God's calling you, you must do this. And they weren't even Christians. But I was just sharing my story so much with them. And so we went into the mission field, and I still really struggled for the first maybe almost a year with headaches still, and just, you know, the loss of strength in that left side. But I really felt in my heart, God said, I will heal you in the mission field. And I had no idea what that looked like. Well, we're going to share some more story about how we got involved in the southern part of Romania.
So Romania. See the mountains, actually mountains down, backwards L down through the middle. Western side of the country is very top northern part. It's very, a lot of evangelical Christians there. For many years, missionaries have came down from Germany, Austria, from the west, have came down and evangelized on the western side of Romania. But they always got to the mountains and stopped. We have Hungary along the west, Serbia, Bulgaria on the south, Ukraine on the east, northeast. A lot of influence from Turkey, from the Muslim world. So the people in the south are very, very closed, very suspicious. So we first went to Romania. We started out on the west side, the red. We started out there. We have
right near the Hungarian border.
Hungarian border. There's a missionary, EMCC missionary, was retiring. He had started kindergarten and a small Baptist church. So we moved there. We took that over and we helped get it going. He had been living in another part of the country in the south. It was being neglected, so we came in and we helped get it going.
So for the first 9 months, we threw ourselves into language study. And at our ages, that wasn't easy, learning a second language. Romania is a Latin language, so it sounds a lot, there's a lot of similarities between Italian and Spanish. And wow, that was not easy. But 5 days a week, we threw ourselves into language studies. Our teacher was a 70-year-old woman who was not easy to get along with. And she did not speak a word of English with us. But we would go to her house every morning and spend 2 hours, and then she would give us tons of homework to do. But we praise God for Domna Alitsa because she taught us the language, but she taught us so much about the culture, too, and what to expect as foreigners in the land. And she gave us amazing advice about really observing and taking in the culture and not being judgmental in any way, but observing. And we've seen God just work in that and build relationship through that. So she taught us how to read and write as well, and it was a tremendous experience with her.
About 9 months after we came to Romania, we knew there was more we had to do in Romania. We were just in the western part, a lot of churches, a lot of evangelicals. So about Christmas time, a group of university students called us, said that we've heard about you, we've heard you have a trailer, a truck and a trailer, maybe you could help us. Down in the south of the country, right along the Danube runs right along, the Danube River runs out to the Black Sea. A lot of flooding every year. So this group of university students from a church in the west, took down humanitarian aid down to them. So they asked us, would you like to come along?
Well, we had been praying and fasting for about 2 weeks, praying for another open door of ministry, another open door of opportunity when this happened. And so we met with them and we prayed with them. And there was an instant connection with this group of five students. So we did travel to the south. Well, this is a ministry we're now involved in the southern part, a little Baptist church with about 25 members. But I can tell you, driving into that southern part of Romania, it's full of witchcraft. And you can immediately sense the darkness, the tangible darkness around that entire region. There's just so much oppression, a lot of problems, not just the witchcraft and spiritual darkness, but a lot of other problems with unemployment, alcoholism, abortion, and so on.
So the weekend we were there with this group, we're sitting in the church, and the pastor, Pastor Raul, he asked us to give our testimony. So we stood up and gave our testimony. So by the time we were done, he's sitting in the front here. And he's just bouncing up and down in the seat. And we're wondering what this is about. Anyway, we were done. He gets up and he said, you know, we've been praying for 2 years for a foreign missionary couple to join us. And he said, you know what? You're that couple. It was, wow.
Yeah, it was around the time I had had my accident, actually. We weren't even in Romania. So that was very touching for us. We said, we feel a connection with your ministry, but we need to go back to Iran and we need to pray into it if this is God's will for us. And within a couple of weeks, my grandfather died. We were called back to Ontario, and we shared with our pastors here that we felt God calling us to this new ministry, and God just opened the doors for this. So when we got back from Ontario, we visited the ministry again, and during that time, we just really solidified relationship you know, a promise that we would join the ministry. And then it was, well, where on earth are you going to live here? It's very poor. Go ahead, honey.
So this is our county where we work in. We work in about the center of our county. 500,000 people without Christ. So the colored areas, there's a church, but a very small church. In Romania, it was under communism till 1989. Nicolae Ceaușescu is actually, him and his wife Alina were actually
killed,
executed on Christmas Day, 1989. And the country was under communism until that time. Still, there's still a lot of corruption. It's a very poor country. This area we work in is very, five counties called Oltenia. It's very despised. A lot of people going to the Black Sea vacation will actually bypass this area because they don't want to go through their suspicion. So where we work, there's only a few churches.
In fact, it is termed the devil's footstool, and that is mostly because of the witchcraft, and they hear it all over the news, even in other parts of Romania, how things are happening. They hold witches' conferences once a year in a city not far from us, and it's just... it's been a cursed region for a long time. And as we read that scripture this morning from Zechariah, a new thing is being birthed now, and Christ is raising up the church, and so we believe it's for such a time as this.
So God's called a group of people together. Pastor Raul and his wife from the middle of the country came down. There's other missionaries, other Romanians from different parts of the country have all come to this area where we live. It's called Dragonești Olt. And to plant house churches and to disciple.
Mm-hmm.
This is our team that we work with. You know, there's a couple other foreigners, but they're all Romanians. We have a doctor on our team, and we just people that God has brought to other parts, from other parts of Romania.
Mm-hmm. We have three house churches planted, as well as our main church that was built this past year, and we'll be showing you pictures of that. But we have Romanian pastors that have planted these house churches, and they're in strategic places so that we can reach larger regions. And so wherever there's a house church is to reach like five outlying villages from around it so that we can reach larger groups of people. And we're just seeing God really bless that part of the ministry very much. But our ministry is very multifunctional, just as Christ's ministry was when he walked on the earth. It is, we're trying to meet the needs of the people, not just spiritually, but also physically. And so we do have a doctor who has her own clinic and hands out free medicine that comes into the country. And we've seen God just really work through that. And because they're all, for the majority of the people, are sick because of the conditions they're living in. And we have soup kitchens and so on to meet their needs through the winter months.
Our role in Romania, working with this team, is to lift up the Romanians.
Mm-hmm.
They know the culture, they know the language a lot better than we will ever know. Michelle speaks very good Romanian. I'm a little bit iffy. I get by. But our role is to raise them up.
Mm-hmm.
This is our pastor, Pastor Raul, and this is our town we live in. We say Romania is a very beautiful country with lakes and rivers and mountains.
Which it is.
But where we live isn't. In the south, it's not very pretty. It's very flat. There's a lot of... a lot of poor people here. Communist blocks, they've ripped down a lot of the houses and put up these communist block apartments, and for many years they haven't been fixed up, so they're quite decrepit, and it's very difficult. 12,000 souls, that's how big our town is, without Christ. Unemployment, Sunday night, you go to the train station about 2 in the morning, Monday morning, 2 in the morning, many men getting on the train. They go to Bucharest, the capital. It's about 3 hours by train. Go to work there all week. They stay there. They work probably in the buildings that they're building, the apartment blocks that they're building. Just they sleep there. Saturday afternoon, they come back again. Spend it overnight with their family. Same thing again next day. Drinking. The family environment is very isn't very good at all.
Well, and with the incoming of the European Union, Romania became part of the European Union in 2007. Also, there was an open door for a mass exodus of people from the country. And so we've seen that a lot of the elderly grandparents are raising the children. And so the whole family dynamics has become a real problem in all of Romania. And, you know, you've heard the stories, I'm sure, of the orphans and so on. And that's still a big problem, except that they've closed down the state orphanages now and are trying to put these children in foster homes. And what a big job that is. Our ministry is raising 3 young people right now that have been orphaned, and some of them have been with us for as much as like 5 or 6 years now, and they're doing well, they're thriving, but it's a strain even on the ministry to try and raise these young people too.
So here, general ignorance of spiritual matters. The national religion is Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox. So if you're born Orthodox, you're Orthodox. So you may go to church maybe a couple times a year at best, but you have no real interest or understanding in spiritual matters. Mm-hmm. One of our goals of the team we work with is to give every household a New Testament. The Orthodox priest, he has a Bible, but he doesn't want anyone else to have a Bible. So we go into these villages. A lot of teams come from North America, UK, come to our area, and we get them handing out New Testaments. Gideon's Bible League supply them. We give each house a New Testament. A lot of times they, what is this? We say it's a Bible. What do we do with it? You read it. Like, they have no understanding of what to do with it. So.
And that's because the priests control the people through that. If they don't have the word for themselves, then they only know what they're being told. And so it's a form of control within the church. But we are seeing God just use this as a tremendous tool, a breakthrough, when they actually have the scriptures in front of them and can read it. And then we come back and we follow up and we start children's programs and try to start Bible studies in these villages. And we're seeing God do amazing things. This past year, we went into 3 new villages. 2 received us, 1 did not. So we had to shake the dust off our feet after a period of time. And we'll try and go back into that village again.
There's our church in Dragonash called Speranza. I mean, hope. Some of the youth, a couple Americans there. The guy up in the top right-hand corner, Marianne. He's part Gypsy, Romanian, part Gypsy. His parents split up when he was very young. His mother took him all over Europe. Wherever she could find work, she dragged him along. He lived underneath bridges in abandoned buildings. He only has grade 7 education. Speaks 5 languages.
Mm-hmm. Fluently.
Fluently. I need to... Anyway, he learned to speak all these languages watching cartoons. So I say, I need to watch more cartoons, I guess, to improve my language. But he has a real heart for the Lord. And so we recognized him along with Pastor Rell, our pastor. And this past year, EMCC World Partners has been sponsoring him, raising him up. So we give him, as a project, we provide him some funding that he doesn't leave, that he will stay. And now, as of Christmas, he's a full-time missionary on our team now. And getting married this April, that's the reason we're going back. Him and his wife, future wife Andrea, have asked us to be their spiritual, like godparents. So we're going back for that in April. Vision for our new church. Last year ago, our church was renting a building. We were having our worship service in a bar. Couldn't put a sign up. The owner of the bar, every Sunday morning, he would be up, rin, 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 on his old Dacia car that he had, making noise. And we were paying a lot of rent. And we prayed as a congregation, small congregation, 25 members. Most of them were part of our mission team from other parts of the country. What are we going to do, Lord? What are we going to do? This building was up for sale, so we prayed. And God opened the door for us to buy some more property, right on Main Street. Hard to tell in that picture, but that's right on Main Street. And there was actually a Gypsy family that lived there before. And so we bought it from them. And the bottom picture, every team that came, we took them there. And we claimed this ground is holy. This is holy ground, Lord. If you want us to build a church here, you'll open the door. So we
We purchased property. We went forward. We got our drawings done. Just an interesting thing. We had visited many other churches in this area, or in this area of the south, and they said, "You'll never build a church here. You'll never. The priest won't allow it. The local officials won't allow it. There's too much red tape, bureaucracy. You'll never build this church." We believed. We prayed. We went and got our drawings done. We went to the mayor's office. He kept, "Come back next day. Come back next day." So this fellow, Christie and I, every day we'd go back. Finally, we came back. And he said to us, "What is this amount on the bottom here?" Whatever it was like $200,000 for this project. He said, "Well, this is what the draftsman told us." And he goes, "That's too high." He stroked it off, cut it in half, and that's only what we had to pay tax on them. Only $100,000 instead of $200,000, only $100,000. So, okay, God, if you want us to build this church here, you're opening the door here. So Romanians, though, they were on our team, were even saying, "Probably never build it. There's too many other. We need the fire. We need the sanitation." We went back the next day. The mayor's stamp was on it and the building inspector. We didn't have to pay, or we didn't need any permits or nothing. God just opened that door. So we prayed, "Okay, Lord, what are we going to do? I don't know how to build a church. I built towers in Ontario. I don't know how to build." These other guys didn't either. So we prayed about this. And God brought us three local men that had been building houses for 25 years. God brought them to us. And we hired them to build this church. This little note in the middle there, you can see there's that box there. Right behind it, I have my wheelbarrow. The first day I took my wheelbarrow to the site. And I said, "You know, here's a wheelbarrow." No one else, we didn't have any wheelbarrows there. And they said, "Well, we don't use wheelbarrows." I said, "What do you mean you don't use a wheelbarrow? This is construction. Everyone uses a wheelbarrow." "No, we use this thing in front here. It's called a turd. It's like a stretcher. A man on the front, a man on the back, and they carry the ground or the cement in that." So we had to build the bottom of our church, over 400 bags of cement, I think, by hand. And we carried it all in these things, three, four of those things. A lot of manual labor. There's Marianne. This is some of the bricks that we used to build our church, the walls. This is the our church there on the top left-hand corner. That's actually just the lower level. We put a temporary roof on, so we raised some more funds. We're meeting in the basement, so.
Well, Kevin was sharing, he neglected to say that we really started calling forth before the construction started that by Christmas we would be moved into our new facility. And as he was saying, the Romanians were like, "Well, we just don't know if that's possible. You don't know Romania." And Kevin and I kept praying it. "Lord, you know, if it's your will, would you just open the doors that by Christmas we will be moved into our new facility?" And construction started September. As you can imagine, 3 months wasn't really that much time. But God is so faithful, again, because as we called that forth and we continued to stand on His promises with this, by Christmas Eve, we were moved into our new facility. Now, you and I all know that a building is just a building, and it's the people that we really want to have inside of that building. And so 2 weeks before we actually were completed, I was starting to hear people talking amongst themselves in our congregation and saying, "Wow, we can put out a brand new sign out near the road." And as communism dictated, everyone had these privacy fences around all of their property. You've maybe seen that. And so we're going to bring that front fence down so that people can come right in. And everyone's talking like this. And we'll invite our neighbors. And wow, it would just bless my heart so much to hear them taking that kind of ownership for their new church facility. And so Christmas Eve, all of us ladies were there. We were putting up a Christmas tree. We were putting angels up on the wall to make it pretty in this basement. And do you know, we only had 50 chairs. And that's all our church has. We had over 100 people Christmas Eve. It was standing room to the back doors. And I remember looking at Kevin and saying, "Wow, honey, have we outgrown our new facility already?" God is so amazing. Christmas Day was the same. We held another service, and it was full. And all the neighbors from surrounding homes and so on that had been curious and were coming in to see what was going on through the process of construction were all there Christmas Eve, and that just blessed my heart so much. So God is faithful. We are just continuing to believe that He will continue to bless this church, and the people will come pouring in, and there will be revival in Dragon Eschtolp. Well, we had a really busy time during December because we were finishing up the church, but also this is a very special program to my heart, and I just want to quickly share this with you. The last 2 years since we've been part of this ministry, 2 years ago Christmas, we got 1,500 Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes, Operation Christmas Child, delivered to our ministry. And we prayed as a ministry, how can we best use this to glorify God in such an unchristianized region? And Pastor Raul said, you know, I'm going to go to all the local schools and I'm going to ask if we can bring in Samaritan's Purse to all of the children up to grade 5. And so we really prayed as a team about this, and God opened the doors for it, and actually the directors were quite open. So we went into all the local schools and we blessed every child. Now, I can't begin to share this without crying, because I always do. But we went into these classes, and their schools are nothing like this. You know, it's old wood plank floors. The kids all sit together at these long wooden desks. And because they heat with wood, it's still cold in midday. And so they're sitting there with their toques on and their hats and their coats still on in the middle of winter. And what a way to learn. You know, they don't even have heat. And as we handed them a box and we set it in front of them on their desk, the children just kind of stared there blankly. They didn't even know what they were supposed to do with these gifts. And so we were so excited. And, you know, we shared a little bit about Jesus' story with them, whatever we felt we could do with this open door. And so we went around to each desk and we said to the children, wow, this is a gift for you. Go ahead, open it. And we helped them open the lids. And then they thought they could only have one thing out of the box. They did not understand that whole box was for them. Now, can you imagine? Our children here would just think, wow, that's all for me, right? They would have no concept of that. But those children, the look of glee that came over their faces when they realized that entire gift was for them. I want to say thank you to you if you're involved in this ministry and you make up these boxes for Operation Christmas Child, because being on the other end and seeing those children is very special. And so this past year we received 1,000. We went in and we did the same thing. Our ministry is also, we have 7 programs up and running for children. So we're ministering to over 100 kids as well, is what we're doing in the schools. But God just really blessed this. Now for us as foreigners, what an open door this was for us, the first Christmas, because that entire first year we moved to the South, because they are so suspicious of us as foreigners, no one would speak to us except for our ministry team. And so I'm a very outgoing person. I would walk outside our gate and I'd try to strike up a conversation with some of the ladies, and they would literally walk on by me with their heads down and crossing themselves because they thought we were heretics. And they call us Pokaites, which means repenters in English. Now, to them, they're speaking derogatory. You know, it's a term that they use for us as evangelical Christians. But, you know, God has just blessed us so much through Operation Christmas Child, because after that first Christmas, when we came back last spring, people were just at my gate. I have all these women coming and Donna Mihaela, and they're ringing my gate constantly, wanting to strike up conversations with me now, because that was a non-threatening open door of blessing their children, who are very special to them. So thank you.
God has blessed us with a house in Romania. We're looking for a place to stay, where we're going to live, and long story, but God's blessed us. We prayed that God would close the door for this. He didn't. He opened. We didn't want a house. We just thought we'd live in an apartment. There's nothing available. And this picture doesn't really give it justice. We have some photos back there, but it was just full of garbage, and it was mice and rats, and it was just awful.
Oh, yeah.
But through God's...
I can't begin to tell you what I had to clean up.
But anyway, God's opened the door for this house, and it's actually, we've turned it into a team house.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Ralph, do you want to share quickly?
Well, yeah. I mean, I can't do it justice in like 3 minutes, but the first time we took a look at this house, it's a real God story, so I'll tell anyone who wants to come and ask me about it after. But this old man banged on the door of our church on a Sunday morning during the service and said, "I hear you have a foreign missionary couple with you today. Would they be interested in buying my house?" This is the house. God just opened that door wide, as only He can. The first time I saw it, yes, indeed. I did say to Pastor Rowell, "Well, I don't want a house like this unless God uses it totally for ministry," because it was such a disaster. And God opened the doors. We did pray, "Lord, close that door if you want," and He opened it wide. So, but we did spend 3 months totally renovating it. There was no kitchen. There were no bathrooms in it. So it was a very interesting 3 months of getting this house cleaned out and fixed up and rodent-free. But God really blessed us during that time. But the miracle was, those 3 months of working on this house and all the hard work we put into it, I'd get into bed at night and I'd say to Kevin, "You know, my left arm's getting stronger. I think it's getting stronger, honey." And by the end of the 3 months, God had totally healed my left side. So to God be the glory. That's not me. So thank you.
In the last 2 years, we've had over 100 people stay with us each year. Teams from U.S., from Canada, from U.K., from Germany, coming to short-term mission trips. So we encourage you, if your church is interested, or even just individually, you'd like to contact maybe Ellen Cron down at EMCC in Elmira, and come for a visit. You're very welcome. That's our dog, Jabez, there. He enlarges our territory, too.
Yeah.
And Michelle misses them so much.
I miss them a lot.
How can you be involved? Short-term mission trips or projects, evangelism. We've always got construction going on our church. There's lots of stuff. Medical. We had a team from Ontario came last year, medical, and gave donated a ultrasound to our doctor. And what a blessing that is, because the Romanian government sponsors or funds abortion, mm-hmm. and through this, the she can show the mothers it's just not some tissue, just not some flesh, or it's nothing. At least she can show them their unborn baby. So through that, it's been real. And financial partners, as Pastor Emerson said, fully supported missionary couple of the EMCC is about over $6,900 required per month. Seems like a lot, but that covers there's field, what are all the, covers the our salary, it covers field funds, it covers administration, just allows us a wide range of things that we can do there with these funds. So this is standard right across the board for missionary couples. Right now we're about at 5,300. That's about 76%, I think, something like that. And so we're believing for 1,600 more per month in the next 25 days. So just ask you to pray for that. And if you'd like to become involved in changing lives in southern Romania, we just encourage you to pick up one of our prayer cards there. And ask you to pray for us. It's difficult over there. It's we do run into some opposition from the local officials. There's lots of signs. We were just talking about yesterday. There's lots of signs out in the police station that no corruption. They're getting rid of corruption. Phone into a hotline for corruption, but we still see a lot of it. I was actually involved in an accident last October. We had a team over. A guy backed into me. We went to the police station, and police officer talking to me, and I didn't really pay attention. And anyway, sign here, here, here. I signed. I couldn't really understand his writing. He was very small. I get back home again. I showed it to one of the other members of the team. And he goes, "Why did you sign this?" It said, "You were in fault. You drove into him." I said, "What are you talking about?" He backed into me. And even the driver said he backed it. A little bit of money was slipped under the table. And so I was at wrong, so in the fault. So anyway, just different stuff like that. So I ask you to pray for us. Pray that our support comes up. We're going to be
with that, it does take a real weight off of our shoulders if we don't have to think about raising support for at least a year or two until we come back in.
So just in closing, I'm just going to recap some of the scripture that was read this morning from Zechariah 8, verse 23. God gave me this scripture back in September 27th, 2008, during my own personal devotional time. And I really felt it was a word for our church in Romania that just as he was rebuilding the temple, he was going to build this church in southern Romania, but through that, we were going to see new birth, new growth. There was going to be God's riches poured out, that what has been, what the locusts have stolen and the area has been cursed and despised for so long, God is going to raise up the people of southern Romania. And it's for such a time as this. So Zechariah 8, verse 23, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. In those days, 10 men from different nations and languages of the world, which were seeing people come from all around the world to join our ministry, will clutch at the sleeve of one Jew and they will say, please let us walk with you, for we have heard that God is with you. In closing, I just want to share that our ministry is solely based on the works of God. We pray as a team most fervently that Christ will be the very center of our focus and that everything we do is to his glory. And we are seeing, as I said, that many people are coming alongside of us and desire to be part of that. And so we would ask your church that you would just really join us in prayer for the ministry in southern Romania, that the darkness will be pushed back and the light of Jesus Christ will shine brightly. Thank you.